For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM Federal News Radio. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Don't forget to tune in next week. I will be back with another wonderful special guest, Dr. Joseph Lamb, a medical doctor who hails from the Virginia area. So we're going to cover a lot of great topics next week. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. Today, we got a great show lined up for you. We're going to be talking about several different topics. We're going to start off the show discussing something that I think is really important. There's a lot of really great research coming out around it, and it's related to food sensitivities. Now, we're not talking about the classic food allergy. We're talking about food sensitivities, and these are real issues. These are real things that are becoming more and more widely publicized as far as affecting people's health. I am a naturopathic doctor, and my special guest on the phone today is also a naturopathic doctor. We received our degrees from four-year graduate-level naturopathic medical schools. There are only four in the country. Dr. Bush, my special guest, and I happen to graduate from the same one in Portland, Oregon. And the reason why I bring it up is because the topic we're going to be talking about today and what I have seen recently going on in the media is a reflection of something that happens so much in my profession. For years and years and years, naturopathic doctors have been talking about things like using bioidentical hormones because we didn't believe or be on board with the fact that synthetic hormones were the best option for women, particularly when there was a natural option. So for years and years and years, naturopathic doctors quietly did this in the background. Then all of a sudden, 7-8 years ago, a big study comes out shedding some light that maybe the synthetic hormones are not all that healthy and carry some significant risks. And all of a sudden, everybody's on board with bioidentical hormones. The same thing was true for vitamin D. For 5-10 years, naturopathic doctors, people in the holistic medicine community who really study physiology and what's best for the human body, were saying we need to be checking vitamin D levels. We need to be supplementing people with vitamin D. It's very likely that most people are low. We were ignored, doing our work in the background. And then, of course, as the public catches on, the media catches on, it becomes widely publicized. The story we're going to be telling today, or at least the story we're going to start off talking about today, is following the same exact timeline. For years and years and years, naturopathic doctors have been talking to their patients and pioneering work on looking at food sensitivities. For years in my practice, for so long, the traditional medical community would look at it and say, that's not true, that issue doesn't exist. If it's not a true allergy, then it doesn't exist. And you shouldn't need to avoid those foods because they're not going to impact your health. Well, lo and behold, research is catching up with the game. And again, naturopathic doctors were way ahead of the curve for another time. And today we're going to be talking with Dr. Bradley Bush, who really has a lot of expertise in the issue around food sensitivities. And he's going to be explaining to us some of the differences between food allergies, between food sensitivities, how these things affect our health. We're going to be talking about some of the interesting research that's come out that's really validating food sensitivities as a significant health risk that can contribute to significant health issues. And it is really, really important. So, Dr. Bradley Bush is the clinical director for Neuroscience, Inc. Dr. Bush received his Bachelor's of Science in Zoology and Chemistry from Southern Illinois University and a naturopathic degree from the National College of Naturopathic Medicine in Portland, Oregon. Dr. Bush has worked for years for manufacturers of nutritional supplements, is the founder and past organizer of Pharmaceutical Perspectives, and co-founder of Four Corners Medical Education. Dr. Bush practiced medicine for 7 years at New Hampshire Natural Health Clinic in Bedford, New Hampshire, specializing in neuroendocrine disorders, gastrointestinal disorders, and IV therapies. Dr. Bush, thank you very much for being on the phone with us today.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Passero.
So let's talk about food sensitivities. I'm going to use your expertise while we're on the air, while I have the opportunity. Can you just start off by explaining the general concept of how a food sensitivity differs from a food allergy and some of the confusion that that causes as far as perception in the medical community and in the general public?
Sure. So there's a big difference between a food sensitivity and a food allergy. A food allergy traditionally is a reaction. It's an immediate immune reaction when someone consumes a certain particular food. This immediate reaction is regulated in the body by a hypersensitivity reaction described as a type 1 hypersensitivity. This type 1 hypersensitivity reaction stimulates the release of an immunoglobulin called immunoglobulin E, or IgE. Mm-hmm. And with this release of immunoglobulin IgE, it causes an immediate destabilization of mast cells and eosinophils, parts of your immune system, and the release of histamine, which then causes a rather rapid reaction that causes inflammation, and of course, in severe cases, could lead to constriction of the respiratory tract and anaphylactic reactions.
Exactly. So that's the classic food allergy reaction. This is somebody who eats a food. Obviously, peanuts are one of the most common ones that people are aware of, or shellfish, where they break out in hives. They maybe have trouble breathing. They get some tingling or numbness around their lips. It's an immediate reaction that occurs very shortly after ingesting the food. And as Dr. Bush pointed out, it's mediated by this arm of the immune system, the IgE arm of the immune system. So now, Dr. Bush, explain food sensitivity and how it's different.
Sure. A food sensitivity is considered a non-IgE reaction. So it's often classified as with allergies being considered IgE, and then there's the non-IgE reactions. These non-IgE reactions are considered transient in a lot of ways because their severity or even their very presence is determined upon a global occurrence in the body. So a person who has a very good health, who eats a very rounded diet, and who maintains a healthy GI tract, those individuals tend to have less of a chance of having a lot of these food sensitivities versus an individual in poor health who may have a very poor diet or a compromised gastrointestinal tract. Those individuals tend to have greater occurrences of these non-IgE reactions. So a food sensitivity manifests in a similar fashion as the IgE. The consumption of a food leads to an immunological reaction. Now, instead of an IgE reaction, the non-IgE food sensitivities often cause stimulations in IgG, IgA, or even IgM.
Sure. So, I mean, the take-home point is that these food sensitivities are any type of immune reaction that is different than a classic IgE reaction. And I think what's important to note, or at least what I've experienced in talking with people about food sensitivities, is that generally speaking, they're not a recognizable diagnosis from their traditional medical community. And it does create some confusion. Is that something you've seen as well, Dr. Bush?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's actually really, it's too bad because a research study came out in 2001 that did a very large telephone survey. And in this extremely large survey, 25% of the American households had reported that they alter meal planning due to a perceived food aversion by at least one member of their families. That's 25%. That's a quarter of all the people surveyed, and over 8,000 people surveyed in this nicely formatted survey. Now, put that in comparison to what is recognized by the established medical professions, that a true allergy occurs in anywhere between 1% to 3% of the population. with children having a higher level versus adults.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sorry, that's a huge difference between what is considered people with a real problem, 1 to 3%, to those who actually perceive and are actually changing their lifestyles to a perceived issue.
Sure,
they
yeah.
Help Peyton feel.
Yep, it's a very big discrepancy. And the problem that I see most happen occur with this is people may have a chronic issue, and we're going to talk about some of the chronic issues that can come up from a food sensitivity, but they're dealing with a health complaint, and it could be a primary health complaint that they're dealing with. Like, for instance, something like irritable bowel syndrome, oftentimes very much correlated with food sensitivities. They're having the symptom. They go to their traditional doctor to get allergy testing to determine whether or not something they're eating is actually affecting this health issue. The type of testing that is done is only the IgE-mediated testing, so you're only looking for that one type of reactivity from the body, and the tests come back showing that they're not allergic to any foods. So now all of a sudden they have a perception that what they're putting in their mouth, the foods that they're choosing to eat, are not affecting their health issues, when really it can be quite the contrary. The problem was the type of testing that was implemented to determine what the person might be sensitive to was not looking for all of the different reactions. And it can also become very tricky because the IgE, the true allergy, the symptoms manifest very quickly. Usually within 10 to 30 minutes within consuming the food, there is some type of physical symptom that does present itself. With the other arms of the immune system, the IgG mechanism or IgA or other type of immune responses, we can have what is called a delayed sensitivity. So it might be 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 days later that a physical symptom manifests after consuming the food. This creates extreme problems in trying to track what you're sensitive to. So people may say, oh no, I know I'm not sensitive to gluten, or I know I'm not sensitive to dairy. I've tracked my diet. I've tried avoiding it. It doesn't seem to matter what I eat. And when the reality of the situation is that if the reaction is delayed 3 or more days, it is going to be almost impossible, even with the most close tracking of your diet, to ever figure out what foods are correlating with what. It becomes extremely tricky at that point. So there's this perception that because we can't physically test for it through traditional means, that it doesn't exist. Now, what we're going to share with you today, some of the things that I'm really excited to share with you today, is there is a lot of good research coming out pointing to the fact that these sensitivities are real. This is not a made-up diagnosis. This is not a made-up condition by a subset of doctors who, you know, don't know what they're talking about. This is real, and the research is proving it. And one of the primary researchers who's proving it is actually local right here to Maryland at the University of Maryland, doing some very exciting work and showing us that the body has other ways to react to foods besides the classic reactions that we know how to measure. And it does make a significant impact on people's health. So when we come back from the break, we're going to pick up this conversation. We're going to be talking about this exciting research, and we're going to be talking about some of the conditions to look out for that may point out if you are dealing with one of these types of food sensitivities. So this is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living right here on 1500 AM, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary, and we are going to be back right after this break.
Whether you're an active baby boomer, a weekend warrior, or a professional athlete, Boron's Arnicare Gel is the perfect solution to all life's little injuries. Arnicare, which contains the healing benefits of homeopathic Arnica Montana, can be used safely to treat muscle pain, stiffness, swelling, and bruising due to minor injuries, overexertion, and surgery. The non-greasy gel has no artificial colors, perfumes, or parabens. Arnicare is also available in cream and ointment formulas. You can find Arnicare at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Arnicare on the web at arnicare.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code. Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acidophilus, 900% more. Get acidophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acidophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. We're here every Sunday morning from 10 to 11 AM, so don't forget to tune in. Today, we're talking about a really important topic, food sensitivities and how they differ from food allergies. There's a lot of clarification that needs to be put in place on this topic. I have a wonderful special guest on the phone with me today, Dr. Bradley Bush, who is a fellow naturopathic doctor and director of clinical research at Neuroscience, Inc., who has developed some of the best tests for determining food sensitivities, not just food allergies. I just want to remind everyone that if you're just tuning into the show or you want to listen to any of our previously recorded shows, and I have to put a plug in here, the show I did last week was phenomenal. And it was a show with Dr. David Perlmutter, who is an internationally renowned neurologist who was really shaking the foundation of neurology with some of his approaches to treating Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, chronic neurological conditions as preventable diseases. He's also pioneered some amazing work in treating these conditions using a combination of conventional approaches along with more naturally based physiological approaches. And the interview was excellent. Dr. Perlmutter shined like a shining star like he is and gave us some incredible information. So you can go to www.myvillagegreen.com and click on the archive show section to download any of our previously recorded shows for absolutely free, or even easier, you can go right to iTunes if you have an iPod, an iPad, a Mac, even just any MP3 player and you use iTunes. Type in the search bar, Essentials of Healthy Living, and you'll get all of our shows downloadable for absolutely free in a podcastable format, which is a really nice way to just put them on your MP3 player and listen to them in your car while you jog, while you work. Well, maybe not while you work. Well, whatever it is that you do. But a lot of great information there. So I want to get back to this topic. Dr. Bush, what I wanted you to share with the audience right now was I want you to help people understand what types of things food sensitivities might relate to. Because when people think about food allergies, they think, oh, well, if I don't have hives, if I don't have GI symptoms, I must not have a food sensitivity or a food reactivity. But can you help people understand how far-reaching food sensitivities can be when it comes to affecting your health and how you feel?
Sure. The food sensitivities, I mean, when you have an immune system that's starting to react to the foods you're eating in a way that is not constructive, you will create both local and systemic alterations in normal functioning. So, for example, you eat a food, you may have a antibody reaction. That antibody goes into your blood system and goes all around the entire body. It may go into your muscles, it may go into your joints, it may reside into your nasal cavities, it may cross the blood-brain barrier or affect neurological functioning in your brain. So, of course, the symptoms that someone may manifest due to a food sensitivity could be varied and be may affect their overall health in a dramatic fashion. Now, of course, with food sensitivities, yes, we think of gastrointestinal disruption. So, of course, you have, as you mentioned, irritable bowel syndrome. And, of course, as naturopathic doctors, a large number of clients that see us have GI issues like an irritable bowel syndrome, and they have not received benefit from any conventional approach, and they come seeking out alternative treatments. Very classic representation. But maybe, you know, you're one of the millions of people in America with heartburn. How many, I mean, does everybody have too much stomach acid in this entire country? I don't think so. Typically, people have heartburn for a number of things. First and foremost, poor diet, food sensitivities, and of course, many of those people who've been diagnosed with heartburn typically actually have the opposite. They actually usually have low stomach acid that makes them appear or feel as though they have heartburn. In addition to that, there's symptoms that can occur throughout the whole body. In your genital urinary tract, it may lead to, in children, bedwetting. Very common occurrence. If you have a child who is frequently wetting their bed past the time they should be, or past the time that's acceptable, think first and foremost food sensitivities, because an immunological reaction may cause irritation to the bladder, leading then to a inability to hold the urine. In addition to that, you may be suffering from chronic yeast infections, or you may have painful or difficulty urinating. Men with a lot of prostate inflammation, before instead of just thinking about reducing inflammation in the prostate, think of maybe the root cause behind that. Think of a possibility of a cross reaction with a cross reaction from eating a food that you're sensitive to. And we also have, of course, in the musculoskeletal system, people with muscle pain and joint pain. Of course, many Americans have joint issues later in life, but you can prevent a lot of joint issues from arising in the first point, but also to manage them later in life when you clean up the diet, heal your GI tract, find out your food sensitivities, and avoid them. Now, more very importantly here is, you know, one of the reasons why a company that, like Neuroscience that I work for, that we have embraced the concept of food sensitivity testing, food allergy testing, and healing the gut, is because of a lot of the mental and behavioral issues that may manifest from eating a food that you react against.
Yeah, and this is where things get incredibly fascinating for me. I mean, of course, when anybody has chronic headaches, migraines, autoimmune conditions, sleep issues, skin conditions like eczema, psoriasis, joint inflammation, you mentioned enuresis, irritable bowel syndrome or gastrointestinal discomfort, acid reflux. These are all conditions that always raise a red flag about food sensitivities. Now, the food sensitivity is not always the single causative factor in all of these circumstances, but in a lot of times they exacerbate it significantly by ramping up an immune reaction that is already geared to go in a direction. So it's oftentimes multifactorial, but those are some of the conditions that I always think of as a practitioner when somebody comes in my door. Now, what you're about to talk about, Dr. Bush, I think is really exciting. And this is where it comes to the mental emotional aspects of things. I've seen anxiety, insomnia, attention deficit issues, mental emotional conditions that all are very much tied to food sensitivity. So go ahead and elaborate on that a little bit.
Oh, sure. Well, when it comes to, especially with children, let's start with children, and we'll kind of go up the chronological ladder here as we age. But when you're a child, most children actually have difficulty processing certain foods. Dairy is one of the most difficult foods to process. And, of course, you know, think about it. Do we raise baby cows or do we raise baby children, baby humans? I mean, humans were not designed to be drinking the milk from a large grass-feeding mammal throughout the rest of their whole entire life. Most IgE, true allergy reactions, the reason why there's a higher percentage of IgE reactions in children is because the immune system hasn't developed enough to tolerate dairy. Now, of course, as the child's immune system develops a little bit more, they become more tolerant to dairy, and therefore they have less IgE or major allergy reactions. But of course, nature is not black and white. Nature resides in this beautiful shade of gray. And many children will continue to have reactions to dairy over the course of their life. It might not be an IgE reaction, but let's be realistic here. There is a lot more to your immune system than just an immunoglobulin E reaction. And these children, in response to eating the dairy, or let's just say any other type of food, they may have a severe reaction that may manifest not in the GI tract, not in an IgE allergic reaction, but maybe with behavior, maybe with their ability to process sugars, and of course, numerous other conditions. How many of those children that walk into a doctor's door that has an ear infection, you think have no food sensitivities?
Right. Well, a lot of people would argue that they don't have food sensitivities. And that's what the paradigm that we're trying to break. There was a great study that was published in The Lancet in 2011, just a recent study that was done in Norway and Belgium, that took kids diagnosed with ADD and ADHD and did a type of food sensitivity, not food allergy testing. And they specifically didn't do food allergy testing because they knew that most of these kids, if you bring them in to get traditional allergy testing done, they're going to test negative for things like dairy and wheat and soy and eggs and a lot of the common things that people have sensitivities to. So they used a more sensitive form of testing to look for sensitivities called IgG testing, which Dr. Bush is going to talk to us about. And they found out the foods that these kids are reactive to. Based on the foods that they showed reactive to, they eliminated those foods from their diet, and they continued to watch them. And there was some good parts of the study in its design, some bad parts, some good parts where it was blinded in certain periods of time, meaning that the doctors nor the kids really knew who was on what treatment, so it was relatively objective. And they found that the kids who were going through these elimination diets that were just specifically based on this IgG testing had significant improvements in their behavior and in their ADHD symptoms. And the whole conclusion of the study was that we are over-medicating our children. Do we really know the long-term effects of using a lot of these stimulant medications in children? I had dinner with a very well-respected psychiatrist friend of mine a couple weeks ago, and she talked about some of the scary studies that are starting to come out showing us what goes on when kids are on Ritalin and stimulants for really long periods of time, because Ritalin is not a new drug anymore. And now we're starting to see some of the ramifications in older children. So we're over-medicating our children, and there are other tools that we can use that work more with the physiology to get these symptoms under control. And that was the whole point of the study, is let's take a step back and look at what we're doing. And here we have concrete proof that working with the diet and food sensitivities can have dramatic impacts on the symptomology of ADD and ADHD because of the way that the immune system, even if the reaction is happening in the gut, the side effects or the ramifications that the immune system creates by having that reaction ripple across all of the physiology, including in the brain. And there are going to be specific children with specific sensitivities that have a specific subset of things going on in their body that make them much more susceptible to those ripples. And it can cause some serious issues with how their brain thinks and functions and how they feel. And lo and behold, it manifests with symptoms like ADD and ADHD. And I see this across the board. People with insomnia, people with anxiety, people with depression, these types of conditions that we think about as just just being localized to what's happening in the brain can actually start in the gut. And that is a hard thing for people to get their heads around, because we are so used to separating out the systems of our body into completely independent parts. But the reality is that they are connected, and some of them are connected more intimately than others. And what we're learning is that the connection between the gut, the immune system, and the brain is more intimate than we ever thought before. And that's where a lot of exciting research is starting to happen. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Dr. Bush, and he's going to talk to us and explain to us about this IgG sensitivity testing, what it is, how it's different from IgE, and what it means as far as what we're measuring in the immune system, so that if you're interested in doing this, you have a real guideline to go by. So this is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary, and we're going to be back right after this break.
Since 1973, Megafood has been providing supplements which harness the power of phytonutrient-rich whole foods. For optimum nutrition and true vitality, we need foods which have not been damaged by heat. Megafood's state-of-the-art cold fusion process naturally protects the delicate phytonutrients present in whole food. Supplement daily with an easy-to-digest Megafood formula and enjoy the best that food has to offer. For information, call 800-848-2542.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of FitFood, a delicious, high-quality functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of FitFood contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. FitFood provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
Listen. Blissful silence. The sound of a healthy, balanced digestive system. No rumbling stomach, no loud gurgles, and most of all, no discomfort. Gero Formula's Ideal Bowel Support 299V contains a clinically documented probiotic strain that promotes regularity, enhances intestinal comfort, and optimizes immune health. And now you can get a free sample of Ideal Bowel Support 299V when you visit our website at jarrow.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Are you under a lot of stress at work? Pressure from the boss, budget cuts, impossible workloads? It can all take a serious toll on your health. But we can help. Village Green Apothecary has everything you need for a healthier lifestyle. A wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for 45 years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. I will be back next week with Dr. Joseph Lamb for another fantastic show, so do not forget to tune in. My co-host Dana Lake is on vacation this week, so I am filling in for her. We have on the phone with us today Dr. Bradley Bush, and we've been talking about food sensitivities, and we've been explaining some of the differences between food sensitivities and food allergies. And this is a very, very important topic. Food sensitivities can manifest with IBS symptoms. They can manifest with headaches, autoimmune disorders, sleep problems, skin issues, insomnia, anxiety, what we just talked about at the last break, ADD and ADHD, joint inflammation, bedwetting. There's just so many different things that food sensitivities can contribute to. In this segment, Dr. Bush is going to talk to us about some of the nitty-gritty when it comes to the testing for food sensitivities. How do I figure out what I'm sensitive to? I've been to the allergist. I've had food allergy testing done. It all came back negative. But maybe you have a child who has one of these conditions we've been talking about, or you have an issue that you think might be tied to foods. Dr. Bush works for Neuroscience Inc., which is a fantastic company that has pioneered some very, very good food sensitivity testing that is now starting to become, and has been in the past, clinically validated in its ability to really help with specific conditions. So before we get into that, I just want to make a quick mention of the Village Green Apothecary. They've been located here in Bethesda, Maryland for over 40 years, and they are the kind sponsors of this show. They have a full-service pharmacy, as well as a compounding pharmacy, which will custom make any type of medication that you want. They specialize in doing bioidentical hormones. They also have a retail section with over 10,000 different vitamin, mineral, herbal, skin care products available to you. We have an amazing staff of herbalists, of nutritionists, other highly trained people that have been in this field for 40 years. It is an incredible resource. If you have never been, I certainly suggest that you stop in. It is a great place. Also, if you want to listen to this show in its entirety, I encourage you to download the previously recorded shows for absolutely free by going to www.myvillagegreen.com, or you can go to iTunes and just type in Essentials of Healthy Living into the search bar. So thank you for that plug. So Dr. Bush, explain to us this process of IgG food sensitivity testing and how it's different from the conventional food allergy testing and sort of how it works in general.
Yes, the IgG food testing is most commonly performed as a blood test. A patient has their blood drawn. The blood sample is sent to a lab. The lab then tests the patient's blood and their different parts of their immune system to a series of different foods. These foods are laid out on these small little plate wells, and then every single food is going to create some type of immunological reaction, which is then measured as a reaction from 0%, i.e. no reaction, to 100%. And of course, an individual can be in a very inexpensive manner be screened for hundreds of different foods to see what their cumulative reactions are. The IgG test is quite often disregarded as not being clinically valid because individuals tend to have reactions to a number of different foods, and some of those foods may not actually lead to any type of symptoms that can be identified in an individual. But remember, these are we're looking at the immune system. The immune system is extremely complex. You may have a reaction to something in your immune system, and that very aggressive reaction may be a good thing. Conversely, though, you may have this immune reaction, and it may lead to a bad event in the body.
Right, and I think this is a great point to bring up. I mean, I run hundreds of these tests, and it's absolutely true. You may get a profile that shows a large amount of foods that come up as sensitive, but really it comes down to maybe a handful. It may only be even one or two foods on that list that actually significantly impact a person's health issue. And it can get confusing because there are other things that have been shown that your immune system is reacting to. And that's what we were talking about on the break, Dr. Bush, that study that I mentioned that was done in Norway about these kids with ADD. They came to this really interesting conclusion where they said, we did the IgG test, we identified these foods, we took the kids off of those foods based on what the IgG test said, and they had this amazing response and did phenomenally well. But at the end of the study, they say, we don't recommend IgG testing for determining which foods people should be avoided from. And it's a very converse message because it was the IgG testing that allowed them to make the decisions to have the improvement in the first place. And that brings up the issue that you just talked about how there can be other things that show up, and the researchers got confused, right? I'll let you explain it.
Correct. just like, you know, everyone wants to have a black or white answer. Biology is not that simple. And, of course, that's why, as humans, we still have disease in this world. The tricky thing about the immune system is that it's going to react in a way that's both positive and negative at different varying times. What's important to always remember, and what researchers do not understand, is that there may be a positive reaction immunologically that does not lead to any type of bad symptoms in an individual. And if, of course, in the model that they're trying to compare everything to, which is the IgE immediate hypersensitivity reaction, in that particular case, a reaction instantly causes some type of histamine release and then symptoms. And unfortunately, the medical establishment still has it ingrained in their brain that unless a food causes an immediate negative reaction in an individual, it is not considered a food allergy whatsoever. And of course, with food sensitivities, it becomes very difficult for the establishment to wrap their head around. For that, one, it's delayed. Number two, an individual may react to different foods in a disproportionate manner to their symptoms that they manifest, i.e., you may have a very slight IgG reaction to something like banana, but that banana is maybe one of the root causes behind why you're not sleeping at night.
Right. So what's showing up on the test may not necessarily be so reflective of how the symptoms manifesting in the person. And again, it brings up, because this type of testing is rolling into the complexities of the immune system, how the immune system works, it's not always as cut or dry. And what I love is that this, as I mentioned before, this research is starting to get more validated. So I alluded to before a physician who's doing a lot of research in this area. His name is Dr. Alessio Fasano, and he's a medical doctor at the University of Maryland and is one of the foremost researchers in celiac disease. Now, celiac disease is a disease where people cannot tolerate the protein gluten, which is contained in wheat. If they eat it, they get an autoimmune reaction that literally destroys their intestines and can make them extremely sick. They cannot tolerate any gluten. Now, in this whole naturopathic community, this issue of food sensitivities, specifically as it relates to gluten, is huge. There are so many people that are gluten sensitive. Now, I have watched year after year after year after year, patients come into my office, complain of health conditions. We do something like IgG testing or through history management or food diary tracking, and we determine that gluten is one causative factor for whatever health issue they're dealing with. We eliminate the gluten and their health issue improves. Now, they probably before had a suspicion about it. Many of these patients do. They went to their primary doctor and they were tested with the blood test for celiac disease and they came back negative. And their doctor sat them down, showed them the blood test, looked them in the eye and said, "You're not testing positive to gluten. You don't have an issue with gluten. It's not the food." They were left very confused, and it may have been years before they showed up in my office and we actually identified it appropriately. Now, why I'm excited about this is because this Dr. Fasano is now validating this aspect that the term gluten sensitivity is a real thing. This is not made up. And in his research, he has identified certain type of immune reactions that occur in people who are sensitive to gluten but don't have celiac disease. And these gluten sensitivities can cause a very significant amount of symptoms. And this is the first time that any researcher in the conventional medical model has validated this concept that something exists between a full-on disease like celiac disease or an IgE-mediated reaction and a food sensitivity. And the reactivity that he's looking at with gluten is not an IgE-mediated one. It's looking at other forms of the immune system and the way the immune system responds. So these issues are becoming clinically validated, and tests like the IgG tests from Dr. Bush's company, Neuroscience, can be very useful at helping to understand what foods may be contributing to symptoms. Now, because of some of the, I guess, ambiguity that can arise from seeing a huge list of foods and maybe there's only certain ones on there that a person is reactive to, that's when comes into play the practitioner and working with somebody that understands the nuances of these tests, understands how to implement the results, and understands how to get people results from that information. So, Dr. Bush, what have I missed?
Well, you know, you hit it right in the head, Dr. Becerra. The most important thing when it comes to food sensitivity testing is not the raw data specifically, but it's the interpretation and then the clinical application of it. For that, ultimately, with anything that is diet-related, the true treatment of it is the avoidance of that particular food, and it's the management of the patient to help allow them to reintroduce it at the proper time. The research on IgG sensitivities on the true science is very mixed because of this issue between, hey, is it a positive, or is positive really a negative? But the application of IgG testing to be used to create a guided elimination diet has been shown in every single clinical study to have a resounding positive outcome for the patients, from migraines to irritable bowel syndrome to ADD. And here's the best thing about it. Unlike prescriptive drugs that are based on methamphetamines, this approach does not have side effects. A person may not be eating their favorite food for the next 8 to 12 weeks. But by golly, when that time is up, I'll bet you that food's still around and still available to eat. They're not going to take anything away from them, and there's no side effects. Extremely important. Remember, children are very fragile creatures, and by giving them medications that may alter their brains, that may lead them to a life of possible future addictions, why do this when there are alternatives to do first before you need to have the bigger guns?
Right. And like we're talking about, these are viable alternatives that are being clinically validated, which is important because here, as I talked about at the beginning of the show, naturopathic medicine, naturopathic doctors, again, we're going to show up 10 years ahead of the curve because it's only going to be more clinical validation showing that these dietary factors. The FDA just had the big investigation about food dyes, and came out and said in certain susceptible individuals, food dyes really exacerbate behavior issues. Something we've known about for a long time. It just takes a while for the medical community to often catch up with some of the research and some of these things that are living sort of outside their realm. And it is finally catching up, which is, I think, really important. We've got to go to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be discussing some other aspects around food sensitivities. We got Dr. Bradley Bush on the phone, who works for a company that has pioneered the work in testing for food sensitivities. This is Dr. Kevin Becerra with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500. And we're going to be back right after this break.
The moment you feel achy or run down, nip flu-like symptoms in the bud with Boron's Acylococcinum. Clinical studies show that Acylo, when taken at first signs of flu, reduces the duration and severity of flu-like symptoms such as headache, body aches, chills, and fever. For 65 years, families throughout the world have relied on Acylo. It works safely and naturally without causing side effects like drowsiness or interacting with other medications. Keep Acylo on hand and feel like yourself again. Acylo is available at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Acylo on the web at acylo.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. That's right, raw. Made with the highest quality standards to preserve raw nutrients, uncooked, untreated, unadulterated. They are binder-free with no fructose, maltodextrin, magnesium stearate, or cornstarch. With live enzymes and probiotics, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Wondering how to turn your bedroom into a hothouse? The answer is Hot Plants, the natural herbal way to make sex fun, vibrant, and satisfying. Two unique formulas, one for him and one for her, were developed by Chris Kilham, the medicine hunter. Chris's book, Hot Plants, features these exciting products from Enzymatic Therapy. Hot Plants from the Science of Enzymatic Therapy, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Some things are hard to stomach, and life doesn't stop for occasional immune challenges or intestinal distress. Probilarty from Metagenics offers a new targeted probiotic approach for intestinal support. Help maintain control while traveling or as a follow-up to antibiotic therapy to support intestinal flora for healthy intestinal function. Probilarty provides ID-certified probiotic strains suggested by research to enhance certain aspects of immune function in addition to promoting a healthy balance of intestinal microflora. Probilarty is the go-to probiotic for patients on the go. Get it today. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio. We have had a smoking show talking about food sensitivities, covered a lot of really great information. I really encourage you, if you're just tuning in, to go to www.myvillagegreen.com and download the show in its entirety for absolutely free. Some really important topics if you're somebody dealing with skin issues, eczema, psoriasis, chronic headaches, autoimmune conditions, inflammation. If you or one of your children has ADD, ADHD, anxiety, insomnia, these are all conditions that are so oftentimes correlated with food sensitivities. I have on the phone with me today Dr. Bradley Bush, who works for Neuroscience Inc., which is a company who has pioneered some of the best testing for food sensitivities. In the last segment, he talked about some of the differences between the type of food sensitivity testing you get through IgG versus the more traditional ones like IgE. So Dr. Bush, I want to give you a minute. Maybe you can talk to listeners out there about, you know, let's say they have more questions about this. What are the kind of questions they can start bringing to their doctor? What are the kind of tools that they can start using? I mean, I would assume that the first place would be finding a practitioner who can maybe get them one of these IgG tests to start getting some objective data about what they're sensitive to. But there's a lot of other options on the table. I'd love for you to elaborate on that a little bit.
Absolutely. When it comes to empowering the patient and having them maybe sometimes drive some of the possible positive outcomes for their health, it's important for them to ask questions in regards to the allergies, in regards to food testing. Now, it's interesting. I did a little research, and in the national laboratories that are used by doctors around the whole country, the number one internet-searched word on the major national laboratories is food allergy, food sensitivity. People are out there looking for more answers because they're sick of being sick. If you are a patient and you are looking for more answers, first and foremost, with your primary care doctor, hopefully with your insurance, you can get as much food testing as possible through them. Ask for not just a skin prick test on your arm for IgE reactions, but ask for a serum test for both inhalant and also for foods. This is important because all of these different methods for testing allergies all have limitations. But by getting more testing, you get a summation of data that then allows you to allows you to avoid the correct foods and to create a more dynamic treatment plan. Now, number two is looking for IgG testing. Now, there's a lot of IgG testing out there. There's not very many companies that do it very well. And so you, one, want to work with a doctor that knows how to interpret and apply the IgG food testing data. If you just have a national lab looking at 20 different foods for IgG reactions, and then you're told either stay away from that food or not eat that, or to eat that food, that is not going to get you where you want to go. you need to work with someone. It doesn't have to be a medical doctor. It could be a naturopath. It could be a nutritionalist. It could be a number of different individuals who have experience in looking at these type of tests, interpreting what that means for that individual, and then putting them on an action plan, because avoidance is not always the issue. There's a thing called the allergy march. The allergy march is where certain types of sensitivities add up one on top of another, and it eventually creates a burden for that person. And when you get to a point when you're overloaded and one more sensitivity reaction is added onto your pile, that overburdening effect of all the accumulation of sensitivities and allergies eventually then manifests with symptoms. The trick is to reduce that burden of sensitivities and allergies, at the same time identifying which ones mean the most for you. And of course, when you're looking at reducing an allergy or sensitivity burden, you look at a big picture. You're looking at making sure the digestive tract is properly functioning. Do you have hydrochloric acid? Do you secrete enough digestive enzymes? What about the balance of your diet? Are you eating too many sugars, too many starches? Do you not have complex fatty acids in your diet? Do you possibly have issues with your gastrointestinal tract? Do you have a dysbiosis where you might not have the proper gut flora to keep a healthy GI tract in store? Do you not have a healthy mucus layer throughout the GI tract? Are you constipated on a regular basis? Constipation obviously will lead to a backup of a lot of things, including increasing your allergy load. So there's a lot of things that can be done to help in managing symptoms, but the most important thing is to manage the individual susceptibilities, tailoring programs that are not just avoiding foods, but also teaching how to eat the best foods for you at the same time of healing the whole entire system to reduce your overall levels of susceptibility. Now, this approach not only will address a lot of your food sensitivities, but especially at this time of the year in the spring when a lot of people are suffering from allergies from the different pollens, think about it. If you are able to reduce your susceptibility to allergic reactions, then the seasonal influx of pollens might not have such a major effect on you. And that is important because now you're looking at avoiding a lot of different medications that you might not necessarily need.
Right. So that's that concept of allergy load or allergy burden, where even though the food that you're eating may not be triggering the pollen reaction that you're having, if you lower the overall allergic predisposition of your body and the activity of your immune system, you may reduce some of that reactivity even to other sensitivities. The other great point that you bring up is about the gut and healing the gut and the fact that an unhealthy gastrointestinal system that can arise from chronic medications, that can arise from recurrent antibiotics, that can arise from a poor diet, that can arise from many different factors, plays a huge role in dictating the immunology of the GI system, which is exactly what dictates food sensitivities. So dealing with food sensitivities are not just about removing the food from the diet, but it's also about looking at that underlying health of the gastrointestinal system, because that's where the reaction is happening. Now, people forget that 70% of your immune system is located in your gut. So it's no wonder that foods can cause such a strong reaction and manifest with so many other symptoms. So Dr. Bush, thank you so much for being on the show today. Just a couple of seconds left. Do you have any closing remarks?
Not at all, but thank you very much for inviting me, Dr. Becerro. You do an excellent job informing the public on healthcare.
Well, thank you very much. So everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Next week, I'll be back with Dr. Joseph Lamb, and we're going to have a great show with you. He's a phenomenally brilliant medical doctor who is locally from this Virginia area, and we're going to cover some great topics. So I will talk to you all next week. Enjoy the beautiful weather and enjoy your great health. Bye-bye.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.